Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. We're going to read them responsively, but folks, I hate to do this. I got a lot to say, and I only have 32 minutes, and we got a special yet, so we're going to speed it up just a little bit, all right? If I get going too fast, I will slow down for you, but I am going to speed it up just a hair. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, that's deer season. A time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. That's West Virginia. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he that set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And let's pray. Now, Father, we do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd rest upon us. Lord, the only thing that we have worthy of in this world is our time. It is the substance which life is made of. Help us to use it rightly. Help us to maintain it the way you would like, please, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me start by saying this. Tonight's sermon is meant to be very, very practical, very, very helpful, and not necessarily corrective. Though, I think in all of our cases, it could correct part of our life. It's not meant nor intended, nor I don't think an approach will be preached in a corrective manner. I will use some humor. I will use some illustration to teach some truth tonight. Let me say something that I have said scores and scores and scores of times. This book that I hold in my hand is God's words. These are not the words of man. God did not say, well, I'm going to choose Solomon to write the book of Ecclesiastes. No. He said, I'm going to choose Solomon to pen the words down that were written before the foundations of the world. These were God's words. They're not Solomon's words. These are what God said. And I don't mean to say this in a derogatory way, but listen to this statement very carefully. There's been a lot of controversy over the years over, well, what did Solomon mean here? Solomon didn't mean nothing. These are God's words. I don't know about you. I've read Solomon's life in the scripture, and what he has to say isn't going to help me very much. But what God has to say can help me. Anybody had 700 wives and 300 substitutes can't be real wise. I'm sorry. You know, the curse of polygamy and multiple mother-in-laws. That man had 700 mother-in-laws. Lord have mercy. I wouldn't believe in suicide, but that'd be pushing it. Now, wait a minute. People often ask me questions. They ask me questions about vehicles. They ask me questions about this. They ask me questions about, I have helped people buy homes. I've helped people buy engagement rings. I've helped people with major decisions in their life. I help people with heartache, with problems, and with sin, and with death situations, and helping people with retirement, and helping people in retirement. And this, you name it, there's probably not many questions I haven't been asked. Don't try to think of one. I get plenty as it is, but people often ask me questions like this. Well, preacher, just what is good music? What is good music? Listen to this statement. Music, good music, is balance. It's balance. Good music has a variety of speed, loudness, softness. It has balanced chords that blend. That's good music. It also has words that is doctrinally pure. That is good music. a song that only played one note all the way through, like some of you sing, you know, Mary had a little lamb, you know, same speed, same, amen, Brother Gus. Brother Gus saying, what's wrong with that? But wait a minute. Music that has only the same volume, it can get pretty monotonous. Music that has chords that, in the music world, we would call it dissonance. You have chords that have a dissonance to it that does not match all the way, and it almost contradicts. By the way, chords that don't blend, or something that is just constantly loud all the time. Something that has all the same monotonous beat to it. Rap music is not good music. And I'm speaking just musically, not doctrinally. Doctrinally, it's filthy. Some of the most vile words I've ever heard in my entire life come out of boxes. But that beat is monotonous. It's not good music. The beat is overemphasized of the music. There's no balance to it. Casey, you'll know this probably better than anybody in the room, but rock music is honestly, musically speaking, poor music. It's very poor, musically speaking. Some of the hardest music to play comes out of that songbook. Say why? Because it's good music. It's blended. It's balanced. Classical music has great balance to it. And it has a lot of variety to it. Now, listen to me very carefully. You get into this sliding, wiggly, breathy, sensual type of music, you know, it does, oh, that was a wonderful rendition. If you hear some of these people sing the national anthem, I wonder how they ever get paid. Some of the worst things I've ever heard is the singing of the national anthem. Well, it's a beautiful song if it's done right. Okay. I better move on. What's a good meal? Anything you can choke down, amen? No, a good meal has balance to it. To me, a good meal is about a 14, 16-ounce T-bone steak, bone-in, amen? That thing's got to be rare. I mean, body temperature in the middle, not cooked all the way through. I mean, almost cold in the middle, amen, Leslie? I mean, it's got to just knock the horns off, run it underneath, over a match a couple times, and it's about ready to serve. Amen. You get that thing out there, and it's not even bleeding yet. All right, it's not warm enough to bleed on the inside. I like the outside, just sear marks going one direction. You can't cook sear marks going two different directions and have a rare steak. I don't care what you're doing. I've cooked enough steak in my life. I know what I'm talking about. All right. Now, you add to that a good salad. Ooh, man. I mean, I just picked lettuce out of my garden the other day. And today we had lettuce out of the garden, tomatoes out of the garden, green peppers out of the garden. I mean, it was grown in the backyard. It was good stuff. Let me tell you, carrots from my dad's garden. You say, why? Because why should I grow them if he's growing them? There was all kinds of things in there that it was, now to me, that's a good salad. And then you get either vinegar and oil dressing or the Greek vinaigrette dressing or something like that. I can even do blue cheese. That's not too bad. Anything past that, forget it. Just don't waste the salad. Amen. Then you put some taters on there. I don't care if they're fried, baked, smashed, mashed, or chunked up and put cheese in them. I don't care what you do with them, but you got to put some taters in there with that meat, amen? And then throw some green beans or corn on the side. Hey, and then, of course, you got to have some kind of dessert to go with the meal. Say why? Got to have balance. Got to have that balance. You know, if you're going to eat healthy rabbit food, you got to have the dessert at the end to balance it out there. You say, what is that? To me, a good meal is a balanced meal. You know, you get a piece of Miss Tammy's cheesecake and put with that. Glory to God. If you've never had Tammy Kissner's cheesecake, you are headed for Hades. I mean, you take one bite of that and you think you died and went to heaven. Let me tell you. Say why? Because it'll put you there. It's so heavy. But it's worth going to heaven for early. Amen. I think too much of any one thing. You put a 3-pound steak out there, and though it might taste good for the first pound, the second 2 pounds aren't going to taste as good. Too much of any one thing is not good. People often ask me, "Preacher, what's a good church?" I can tell you, balance. Balance. Something that has a variety of ages, a church that has a variety of activities, a church that has a variety in preaching. If a preacher can only, and I'm going to use a term here that might not sound appropriate to you, but if they can only hit one note in their preaching, it's not a balanced church. You come here, I'll be honest with you, I work hard at feeding you spiritually a balanced diet. There's good flat-out Bible teaching Wednesday nights. Sunday mornings, I try to comfort and help and uplift a little bit. Sunday nights, it's leftover night. You come and you find out whether I'm going to kick you in the seat, pat you on the head, or rub you in the belly, but we're going to do one of the three, amen? There's a little bit of variety that goes with it. Now, the Bible says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That means as a preacher, I must reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That is the outline God gave me. A balanced church carries the obedience to the Bible without sacrificing doctrine. Everybody doing okay? It has fellowship for all ages. Did you notice our church has got a lot of fellowship? That's what Sunday school's for. That's what our activities are for. Good night. We've had teen activities. We've had children's activities. We've had other adult activities by Sunday school classes. The young couples, they go out and have all kinds of hoopla and fun. I'm taking the senior citizens on an activity. You say, what is that? In my opinion, that's a way for us to balance the church. The programs are for all ages. It's not all teaching. We're not going to get up and spend the next 2 years studying the book of James, verse by verse, expository. There's another word for it, and I won't use it, but to me, that's dry, dusty, worn out. Everybody, you know, it's just, by the way, it's not scriptural. You won't find one place in the Bible where there's ever been an expository message anywhere. Every sermon Jesus preached was topical. He picked a topic and hit it and went after it. And that's the way Jesus taught us. It's not all flash and flamboyance. Now, there's been times I've been flashy, flamboyant, run around, swing my arms, scream, holler, and if we had a chandelier, I'd swing from it. I'm not swinging from that because it will come down. Amen? There should be times of that, but all of that is not good. Did you know that all sunshine makes a desert? Some of you would like it to be 85 degrees, sunshine, never rain, never get cooler, never get warmer, and just stay right there. But that creates a desert. You've got to have the sunshine, you've got to have the darkness, you've got to have the clouds, you've got to have the rain, you've got to have a little bit of everything to give the variety and balance of life. Now, here in Ecclesiastes 3, God gives us a list. God is teaching us, by the way, God is not Solomon. God is teaching what it takes to have a balanced life. If you look at this list, he said there's time to be born, time to die, time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted, time to kill, time to heal. You heard me stop every once in a while. Time to kill. Oh, yeah, that's deer season. Well, that's honestly what it is. Oh, there's butchering time. People butcher hogs a couple times a year. You butcher your cattle at certain times of the year. Say, what is that? That's time to kill. If you've been in the military and you've been asked to serve your country and you've been in battle situations, there is a time to kill. That doesn't give you a license to come home and do it everywhere you go. Well, I don't like that guy. That's my enemy. Pow! Okay, here we go. No, that's not the time. Everybody understand that? Okay, here we go. Time to weep. A time to laugh. God's talking about a balanced life. God wants every one of his children to live a balanced life. He wants you to live and enjoy all the things of life he has made available to you. Now, he gives us a list of things to show us how wonderful. That's why he said he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Can I tell you where people get their life messed up? Everybody look at me, especially you young people, listen to me. When you start trying to live a part of life that's not in the right time of life. There's nothing wrong with me holding hands with my wife and hugging my wife and smooching on my wife and snuggling up with my wife. But before we were married, it wasn't time to do that. It's okay for married people to do that to their spouse. When you do it outside the bounds of marriage, you're not doing it at the right time. God said everything is beautiful in his time. Okay? There's a time for that. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm about to have fun. God tells us here there's a set time to do all things to make life more enjoyable. Can I tell you where most of you mess your life up? You don't set your time in life to do anything. You just kind of float down river and take what comes your way. And then when you get hung up on something that's dead in the river, you wonder why everything's getting backed up. I don't plan on life happening to me. I plan on happening to it. I do. I don't let life just happen to me. I happen to it. You see, too many of you can't handle more than one thing at a time. That's why you don't text and drive. Okay? Seen how some of you just drive, and that's scary enough. All right? Tonight, I want to show you how to have a rich, happy, balanced life. I must hurry. Number one, we need to plan the negatives as well as the positives to have a balanced life. If you looked at this list, you notice there's a negative with every positive. Time to mourn, time to die. Time to kill, time to heal. There's always a negative and a positive. And please listen with your mind and wisdom for a moment. Some people, even Christian people, grieve the death of someone so long that they grieve past the time of grieving. And you ruin the rest of your life over the fact that you regret something you did or did not do. Can I tell you something? You can only keep somebody alive so long. They're going to die. Well, they shouldn't have died so young. Maybe they should have died before then and God kept them longer than what you thought. Who are you to play God and say when they were supposed to die? Right. Well, if you would have been there, God would have taken them anyway. Your being there has no bearing on God's time clock and God's schedule. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm trying to help you. Negatives overwhelm you because you do not plan them. Can I tell you something? You need to schedule how to handle bad things. Do you know you need to schedule grieving? Some of you have lost loved ones. Brother Taylor, about every 2, 3, 4 months, he goes and visits his wife's grave every 2 months. I knew it was one of those. I just didn't want to put you under duress there. Every 2 months, for the last almost, I guess, nearly 10 years now, hadn't it, Brother Taylor? He goes and visits the grave of his wife. What is that? He's scheduling grief. By the way, did you ever see how happy Brother Taylor is? Can I tell you why? He schedules the negative. That's why he schedules when he goes out to eat with Kay and Kermit. He's got to schedule the negative. Kermit, you saw that one coming, didn't you? You didn't see the elbows flying back there. I did. You got to schedule time to eat. Please, again, this is not meant to be anything derogatory, but when I spent a lot of time in the South. I've preached all over the South. I spent 4 years plus in South Carolina. been around a lot of black folk. And I mean a lot of them. The old black lady was sitting on the porch and she was eating her watermelon, and they came up and said that her husband had just passed away. She just kept on eating her watermelon. They said, "Sweetie, didn't you hear? Your husband just died." She said, "I did. And as soon as I'm done eating this watermelon, I'm going to throw a fit like you ain't never seen before, but I'm going to wait till I'm done eating this watermelon before I do." Can I tell you something? We laugh at that, but there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to it. My grandmother's 96. I know the day's coming. I'm going to preach her funeral. I've been working on it. Can I tell you why? Because I plan to grieve for a little while, but I don't plan on losing control. I'm planning it. Every time I call her, I think, "Whew, wonder if I ever get to call her again on a Saturday." I do. I'm going to miss my Saturday calls to my grandmother. I plan on it already. Say why? Because I've been doing it for a quarter century or more. Folks, I plan my negative times. My wife and I will have something to deal with. Sometimes it's bills that are due and stuff, and she'll say, "When's a good time we can sit down and go through these?" And I'll say, "Let's do it now." Or, "Can we?" "Yeah, that's why I said we got time." And she'll say, "When's a good time?" We just schedule it. You say, why? Because when I come home from work, the last thing I want is another problem right away. But she waits till after she's fed me, and I'm fat and happy, and then she says, "When can we talk about it?" What a way to ruin a meal, you know? No, it's just one of those things. We schedule when we talk about those things. There's times I know I've got a negative appointment coming. That's why, and please don't get mad at me, that's why I don't counsel before church. I need to hit this pulpit on topside. Don't bring me all the negative things before church. I'm going to tell you, stay on my line after church. And that's not because I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to let your negative affect me while I'm up here trying to encourage everybody. Thank you. And I'm not being unkind. Why don't you be kind to everybody else and don't get the preacher discouraged? I can handle it after I'm done preaching. But I can't handle it before I'm preaching. Everybody doing okay? Man, schedule those negative times. Can I tell you something? Plan your anger. If you lose your temper, that's the problem. You know, I plan when I get upset. When in my preaching, sometimes I'll say, "Get mad here." I'll put a frowny face or an ugly face there. Now I know it's supposed to time to throw a fit. There's other times I'll put a smiley face so that I know to be nice. I'm planning the emotion that goes with the message. Can I tell you why? Because if not, I might throw a fit at the wrong time out of a knee-jerk reaction. There are certain things I'll get mad at in a hurry. There are. Somebody gets ugly to my wife or my daughter, look out, look out. I'm coming unscrewed. My daughter and I went in somewhere yesterday, and the guy treated her like trash. It didn't take long before I was ticked off. She said, "Now, Daddy, it's okay." I said, "No, it's not." She said, "No, it's okay." I said, "No, it's not. And I'm going to take care of this." And I did. Now, I wasn't unkind and ugly, but guess what? They're not going to treat my daughter that way. Say why? That's something I'll get mad at. I've already planned it. But if somebody says something ugly to me, go ahead. I don't care. I've been told worse by better. Don't worry about it. You know, I plan my reactions. There are certain things I'll get mad about. I get mad at people with bad doctrine. Okay? I don't get mad at the people. I just get mad at bad doctrine. I hate stinking bad doctrine. I hate it with a passion. Say, "Well, I can't believe you say something about so-and-so." Well, if they didn't have bad doctrine, I wouldn't have to say it about them. It doesn't bother me. It rolls off my back like water off a duck's back. You say, why? Because I plan to get mad at bad doctrine. Okay? Can I tell you something? Schedule your vacation time. Schedule your vacation time. "Well, we're going so-and-so." Okay, what are you doing? When are you doing it? Oh, no, we're just going to let it happen. Man, I'm taking a bunch of senior adults on a trip. Do you know I've got the trip mostly planned already? I know what we're doing, pretty much so when we're doing it. I know where we're going. I know how to get there. I know how to get back. And I'm not leaving for a month. I've got the reservations made, down payments made. I know when the last payment's being made on it. I know pretty much so where we're going to eat. Now, there's going to be a little bit of freedom in there, but I know basically what we're doing. And I'm 4, 5, 6 weeks out and had that all planned. Say, what is that? That's a happy vacation. It's not get up and, okay, what do y'all want to do today? And then nobody knows where they're at. Nobody knows what to do. You haven't researched it enough to know what there's to do. And nobody wants to be like a log floating down river. Figure it out. Schedule. Okay. Schedule your holiday plans. Do you know some of you are going to have to go places for the holiday that you don't want to go? You're going to have to spend time with people you really don't want to spend time with. Can I say this? Schedule it. Schedule your conversations. When a conversation comes up that you know is going to come up that's going to get you mad or get somebody else mad or get somebody ticked off, do you have a plan to get out of that conversation?
Yeah, I'm just not even going to go.
Well, sometimes you don't have that option. But you can schedule how to get people out of that conversation and bring up a totally different topic. Everybody doing all right? Okay. What are you going to do when they bring out the wrong things? Have you planned your action? Okay. You're not going to enjoy life until you plan your life. And you've got to plan those negative times. I got to hurry. Next. When unplanned emergencies come, replan and go on. When unplanned emergencies come, replan and go on. You know, people don't die on schedule. And I hate using this word, but frustrating things about death, you don't know when it's coming. That's an unscheduled negative. And people don't ever die at good times. Trust me. There's always something happening, or it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They just never choose a good time to go to heaven. It just doesn't happen. Can I tell you something? Accidents never happen when you plan them. You know, if you've ever been in a car accident, you didn't say, okay, I'm going to get in a car accident today. I've got this scheduled in my schedule. Today is the day. Those things are going to happen. Somebody's going to dive into the back end of your brand new car that you've had and haven't made but one payment on. Trust me, I know. The only accident in 30 years of driving. I didn't plan on it, but I was out soul winning when it happened. Say, what'd you do? Replan? Went on. Nobody got hurt. Praise the Lord. And I wasn't the one that did it. Amen? An emergency is not the fact that you don't feel like doing something. When you get up to go to work tomorrow morning and you're still tired, you don't turn the alarm off and say, well, it's an emergency that I stay in bed. Hello. Drag the carcass out of bed, slap it in the face, get it to the washroom, throw some water in your face, do what you got to do and go out the door. Well, I don't feel like it. Folks, if I did only what I felt like doing, forget it. My secretary ran a half marathon yesterday. God bless her. She's weird. 2 hours and 24 minutes, she ran 13.1 miles. She'll tell you this. I texted her back and said, I could sit in my tree stand for 2 hours and 24 minutes, but I ain't running for 2 hours and 24 minutes. Forget you. And by the way, I did sit in the tree stand for 2 hours and 24 minutes. Not yesterday, but total I have. Now, wait a minute. That phone that rang just before you were supposed to leave to go somewhere doesn't mean that it tells you that it's an emergency that you stop doing what you're supposed to do. Some of you are locked to a telephone or to a text or to an email so much that every time it rings, you can't let it go to voicemail. Some of you are ruining your life by letting the telephone tell you what to do. Some of you will miss scheduled parts of your life because of the unscheduled. Be on time to everything. If you got paid for everything in life for being on time, some of you would be so far in debt, you would die. Some of you are so, and I don't mean this unkindly, and if you were late tonight, I don't know, I'm not thinking of anybody. I've been working with people a long time. I know people that are so late, they're going to be late to their own funeral. They're going to put the casket in the grave before you show up. Say why? Because you've lived your whole life out of schedule. Can I tell you something? Just because you don't open the mail that have the bills in it and you lose track of them doesn't mean they're not due.
Amen.
Now I went to meddling, didn't I?
Yes, sir.
Almost all emergencies can be foreseen. True emergencies are the only ones that can't. An emergency isn't the fact that you're 3 months behind on your electric bill. Guess what? You've had a 3-month warning. Oh, it's an emergency. No, it was an emergency 4 months ago. Say, no, it's only, I'm only three months back. Yeah, but the month before you knew you were going to be late, guess what? You had an emergency. You're 4 months behind on the emergency part of that thing. Your lack of planning creates your idea that it's an emergency. Okay. Some of you need a goal that you can't reach. That doesn't mean you see how far in debt you can go without getting in trouble. You know what part of the fun of life is? Setting goals that you'll never get all the way to it. Do you know that my wife and I have never been on a cruise? One of these days I'm going to take her on one. We had planned on going one for our 25th anniversary. But my son decided to get married. Say, what happened? Our crews went to Florida so we could take care of their wedding. You know what? Someday we're looking forward to it. I'm glad I didn't have it the day we got married. We've been waiting a long time to go on one of them things. I don't know what I'm going to do on it. She's scared death of water. Too high up in the air to fish. I'm going to figure something out, amen? Man, you'd have to have a half-mile line just to get the hook in the water. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you got to have some plans out there. Some of you men have come by and said, Preacher, what about, oh, man, let me dream through the building with you. Let's walk. Man, I can tell you where everything's going to be. Is it going to be there soon? Probably not. I got one-week goals. 1 month goals, 6 month goals, 1 year goals, 5 year goals, 10 year goals, 20 year goals. I got them out there. Say, are you going to reach them all? May or may not, but at least they're there. I got something to shoot at. If you shoot at nothing, you're going to hit it. You need to schedule your success as a Christian. Can I tell you why some of you don't get successful in Christianity? Because you don't schedule it. You don't schedule when you read your Bible. You don't schedule when you pray. You don't schedule when you come to church. You just go when you feel like it or when you can make it. You know, you'll be successful at reading your Bible every day if you'll read it pert near the same time every day. Promise you. You know, you'll be more successful in your prayer life if you'll pray at the same time most of the time. And that's not just 3 times a day when you got a plate of food in front of you and say, Lord, thank you for the food, amen. Some of you are real successful at that prayer, amen. You know, you'll be successful as a soul winner when you schedule time to go. And let me say this in soul winning. Soul winning isn't the notches on your belt for how many people you won to the Lord. Success in soul winning is in the fact that you went in obedience to the command of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not how many people you win. It's God that gives the increase, not you. Quit looking at success by the people that you've gotten all the way through. Some people have gotten saved. You don't even know they got saved. Some of you need to plan your success of tithing. I'll go to the next one and I'm done. Some of you need to plan your success to help around the church. There are things to be done. There's nurseries. There's special music. There's parking lot. There's cleaning buildings. There's stuff to help in Sunday school. There's special projects. There's ladies' meetings coming up. Man, there's all kinds of stuff going on around here. There is never a lack of things to do. You got to schedule it. What was Solomon saying here? Solomon didn't say anything. God said, it's time to live his way. Balanced. Do you know a balanced life isn't just all play? And by the way, men, balanced life isn't just all work. I work real hard at balancing my time. I do. My wife and daughter will tell you, just about every Monday evening, we go out. It's our night to go out. Tuesday night, soul winning. Wednesday night, church. Thursday, it's a hodgepodge. Friday, we're getting ready for the weekend. Saturday, all day, we're hitting it hard for church. Every once in a while, Saturday evenings, family time, or time to do a little here, a little there, a little bit downtime. I got to have time to do things around my house. But I balance it out. I spend time with my daughter. I spend time with my wife. Say why? Isn't that what life's all about? I got married to be with her. Now, I got to pay the bills. Yes. I got to work. Yes. I've got to read my Bible. Yes. I've got to pray. Yes. I got to go soul winning. Yes. But I also got to spend time with my wife, and I enjoy it as much as I do spending time in my Bible. As much time as I do spending prayer. And as much as I like spending time with my daughter. Folks, balance is the key. Let me ask you a question. How's the balance in your life? Do you have it scheduled? Schedule the balance in your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Bit simple, but awfully practical, and it could help your family, your life, your work, your home life, your marriage, your child rearing, could help every aspect of your life.